This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to Songs with Friends, episode 22, here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is Kelly. Kelly, how's it going?
I'm okay. I'm not feeling well, so that's an apology to everybody first on my voice, but I think it's like karma for making fun of you for being sick for so long. So,
All right. After I bravely soldiered through many shows, I'm going to give a little peek behind the curtain here to everyone. Kelly is gimmicked up right now like Shawn Michaels in 1997.
I don't even know what that means.
There may or may not be somas involved. I don't know what's going on over there. There is no wellness policy here in the Place to Be Nation.
No. Well, you know what happened too? I went to the doctor and they were like, the doctor was like, I think it's just allergies. Cause that's like the standard thing we all say in West Texas whenever you're sick. It's like, it's allergies. And I was like, I don't think so. I said, this has been like, it's been like 2 weeks or so. I was like, I just don't feel good. And it was so odd. She's like, I'm going to take an x-ray of your head. Well, your sinuses. And I'm like, I've never had anybody like do anything like that. So I was like, okay. And so they took the x-ray and then she's like, just go buy this and that over the counter stuff. You're fine. And I was like, okay. And then like at two, the radiologist or whatever read the scan and they're like, you have a like impacted sinus infection. So they like called me in some meds. So very exciting.
Like, your brain is not getting oxygen. This is probably not great.
I don't know. I was like impacted. I was like, what the hell? Should I be worried? So I had to buy some of that medicine that you got to get from like behind the counter and give your driver's license and all that, you know, with the decongestant in it. So felt like a criminal.
So you're close enough to New Mexico that this could turn into a Breaking Bad scenario.
Yeah, I was like, you got to give your ID, sign, all this. I'm like, what? So anyways.
When you need more, you're going to have to send your daughter to get it because you will have passed your legal amount.
Well, you know what's so funny? The last time I bought that from that pharmacy, which I exclusively go to CVS, it was back like in, I didn't even live in Texas. It was like 11 years ago. They had like my address before I moved to Texas. And he was like, you don't live there anymore. I was like, golly. He's like, yeah, I guess that's the last time you must have bought something like this. So
I'm glad you went to CVS. This makes sense because their receipts are long enough to have your full credit history.
No, I get paperless.
Oh, look at you, fancy pants.
I am. They're always impressed when I pay, too. They're like, you get yours emailed to you. I'm like, yes. I don't even go there that often. But when when I need to get medicine. So
when you need medicine and a pack of Bubblicious gum, we know.
All their stuff inside those places is so expensive. You know, like all their like cleaning stuff and toilet, it's all like super expensive compared to like Walmart or Target.
Yes, here in Oldham County, Kentucky, the pharmacies also sell like hard liquor.
Interesting.
So if you just, get a little need some hot decongestant action and some Jack Daniels. I mean, you can do all that in one trip.
I need to bust out my Apple Crown right now, probably. Wait a minute. Hard liquor, not just like wine and beer, liquor?
No, hard liquor. The hardest of liquors. Like, make bad decisions, hard liquor.
Wow. Yeah.
It's not like that in Louisville, but out here in Oldham County, it is. I'm not sure what's going on because this was a dry county until less than 10 years ago. And then they said, you know what? We're just going whole hog.
Yeah. We're going all in.
Like if you want if you want some peanut butter M&Ms and vodka in the same place, we got you.
No judgment. Oh, that's awesome. Yes.
All right, guys. Those of you who don't know what we do here on Songs with Friends, here's what we do. We talk about song lyrics. We each pick a song and we break down the lines, the words, the lyrics to try to figure out just what the hell may have been going on with any given song at any given time. We are going to start this week with Kelly's pick. Now, Kelly, did you at any time in the last 2 weeks since we last recorded, did you happen to watch the ECW November 2 Remember?
I know.
Well, Kelly, that is a regret you'll never forget.
And I did see you tweeted about that, and I was like, I feel like I'm missing out on something, but then I never went further down the rabbit hole like you always do. So,
I asked this because we're talking about the 1991 song November Rain by Guns N' Roses. This was on the 1991 album Use Your Illusion 1, not to be confused with Use Your Illusion 2, which is just about the most Axl Rose shit you could do. Put out two single albums at the end of your genre's popularity and just hope for the best.
I think that's probably how he just lives his life, period.
Something impressive about this song, a fact I just learned about 15 minutes ago, is it at 8 minutes and, 57 seconds? This is the second longest song on that album.
I didn't know that either.
Like, how in the hell do they have the balls to say, you know what, November Rain, we've been working on this song for literally 8 years. We're finally going to put it out, but you know what? Let's have a song that's 2 minutes longer on the same
album.
What's
it called? Do you know?
You know, I have it right here.
Oh.
Let me give a little click-ski here on the Wikipedia page. And I could tell you that... Coma. At 10 minutes and 14 seconds will surely put you in a coma listening to a song for that
yes.
long.
Yes. What's funny is I was thinking, I played this song when I got in the shower and I didn't even listen to it full to like twice before I got out. I was like, this song is long. Like, it's just like... It's double, triple the length of a lot of songs. It's crazy.
It is the longest song, I believe, to ever enter the top 100 Billboard, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
It is the longest song ever to reach the top 10 of the Hot 100.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I can only imagine the thought process that went into this. Like, all right. Yeah. We want a song that plays on the radio. Let's just make them commit to 8 minutes. Fuck them.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
All right. So, do you want to get us started off with the lyrics here, Kelly?
You don't want to know why I picked it?
You're right. Kidding. That is a breach of protocol on my part.
I actually was thinking about this. I don't have anything really, like, dramatic. Like, I feel like... I don't know why. I have always enjoyed this song. I love the music video. Like, love, love, love it. I watch it regularly, like, now, still. I mean, it's weird, but I put it on probably every 2 weeks. I watch the music video, and I think it's awesome. I don't know. I think, like, Guns N' Roses, people are probably going to think I'm weird for saying this, but my older brothers listened to, like, heavy metal music, you know, like Megadeth, Slayer, and I felt like Guns N' Roses was kind of, like, the softer. I mean, I know they still have songs like Welcome to the Jungle, whatever, but it's not, like, to me, they were more rock, not, like, heavy metal, and so I kind of found it refreshing. My brothers would be listening to this, like, death metal music all the time, and then, like, one of them started listening to Guns N' Roses, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, and I have always liked this song, just...
Because it's a monster ballad because every bad boy has a soft side.
That's right. Now, so they say.
Now, that November 2 Remember reference I made earlier, this is every year back in the 90s, Extreme Championship Wrestling would have their big annual November show. It was called November 2 Remember. And they would have a highlight video set to November Rain that would be... shots of the real video mixed in with just whatever silly wrestling thing was happening at the time. It would be full length, like 9 minutes long of wrestling clips.
Oh my gosh.
But it was amazing for its time because the big national companies, WWF and WCW, weren't doing that at the time. A big part of what made ECW was the music. They just either would blatantly just not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And just steal music. Or they would, you know, work out deals to use popular music for things like this because they didn't have a national cable deal. So they would kind of fly under the radar.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, this is a big part. I know when I tweeted that I was in that November to Remember rabbit hole. A friend of the show, John Filipavage, was all about it. It's, oh, yes, I want to be down this rabbit hole with you.
So do you like this music video, or do you familiar with it? Did you have to watch it?
That ECW scenario is how I really discovered this song. I'm kind of ashamed to admit, as late as 1996, I somehow had not heard all of November Rain.
Well, it's that might have been, is that when they did their greatest hits? I don't know. Maybe that was, did your parents like Guns N' Roses? They're so young.
They did. But by 1991, my parents had entire other issues they were worried about.
Yeah. So you discovered this video through wrestling.
Yeah, I didn't.
That's so crazy.
The music I listened to up to that point was all, like, I got into music via Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. Like, that was my shit. Uh-huh. I only listened to rap until about 96.
Okay. So we're, like, opposite. Like, I grew up, like, my parents only, you know, I listened to rock and heavy metal and, okay. I didn't discover, like, hip-hop, rap kind of music till maybe middle school. And then I was like, what's this? You know, I just never had listened to it.
In 1996, I would have been in the tail end of that, the November to Remember part of 96, I would have been in ninth grade.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, this is so pervy of me. But I always thought the music video, like, they had, like, tongue kissing in that video. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I was just like, they were so, like, I don't want to say sexual, but kind of. And then, like, the chick when she got married, like, it was so weird. Like, she showed all of her legs, you know, and that just was, like, so fascinating to me. Because I'm like, what the fuck? Like, nobody dresses like that and gets married, you know, and like tonguing her husband at the altar kind of thing.
Yeah, the whole front of her dress just gone.
Yeah.
And then Axel is dressed like he just went to Hot Topic.
Yeah.
He bought that suit from the cosplay rack for sure.
I bet it was his, like, real life girlfriend at the time, don't you think? I never read about it.
Yes, they were engaged. That's Stephanie Seymour. They were set to be married.
Okay, I should have known. I just assumed that always, but... Oh, they never got married, but they were engaged.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, just the whole thing is, like, perfectly... I don't know. Just their whole thing was... It was amazing to me. I was always fascinated by that video. I still am, oddly. I have no idea why, but... Right. Okay, you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Did you read these lyrics?
You know, I've listened to this song enough where I pretty much know them.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. I didn't actually do a lot of prep work on this, and I'll admit to the people here that I do, and you usually probably don't, but I'm like, I try to actually prepare in some way, but I'm kind of winging it today, so.
Yeah, what I did try to prepare the other day, all that resulted in was me doing that promo video that I'll put on Twitter.
I know, you're like, I'm prepping, and then it went down to, your video on Twitter, okay, you did good on that.
Yeah, if I didn't do it, it would have been a regret I'll never forget.
All right, we're going to get started. Okay, so we got, when I look into your eyes, I can see a love restrained, but darling, when I hold you, don't you know I feel the same? So, you know, and I guess I was always used to think this song was like just straight up love song. I don't even know why, actually, now that I'm kind of like think about the video and the lyrics. But I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things where I think you can see that the person's, you know, falling out of love or not happy or whatever, but, you know, he obviously still is what I, you know, that's kind of what I take from that. So what you got?
I can see a love restraint. I look into your eyes and I see that person I love, but I see you holding something back. Oh, and then I hold you and I still feel that hesitancy. You know, maybe he's not wanting to admit to himself quite yet that this relationship is ending.
Yeah. Or it could even be like a beginning. I mean, sometimes you can feel like someone's just not in it the same way you are, you know, like that would feel kind of like from the start, you know, but like people do, they wait around and hope that it like changes, you know, like, I don't know. I have that a lot with a lot of my girlfriends. So, all right. You good there?
I am good.
I'm going to be cutting you off and everything with this medicine head. Okay, so we got, because nothing lasts forever, and we both know hearts can change. and it's hard to hold a candle in the cold November rain. So I kind of used to always think, like, when I heard that on the song, like, because nothing lasts forever and we both know hearts can change, I was like, that's so cynical and sad, because I used to, when I was, like, growing up, really measured, like, a relationship based on, like, how long two people were together, because my grandparents are, like, still together, still happy, and I always thought, like, time was over everything, you know, and so I always found that to be just sad, you know, to think that, you know, nothing, the idea that nothing does last forever and people change, you know, and when I was young, I found that so heartbreaking. Now I realize that that's just, like, part of life, so, I don't know. And then in the cold November rain, again, that to me is just him not getting returned love. You know, it's hard to hold a candle. That's what I'm, what you got.
All right. Well, you know, we both know hearts can change. Oh, Chris Rock, I think it was, had a great bit where he's like, all right, I'm not only saying that I love you now, but I'm betting half my stuff that I'm going to love who you are in 30 years. You know, it's almost a ridiculous premise when you really think about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a gamble, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is true. You know, you're hopefully not the same person at 22 that you are at 32, that you are at 42. And hopefully you're growing together and in ways that are beneficial. But sometimes people grow and change apart in harmful ways.
Yeah.
And it's hard to hold a candle in the cold November rain. To me, this is a metaphor for trying to keep something going in an impossible circumstance. Imagine you're outside Thanksgiving weekend in a damn thunderstorm, and you're trying to keep this candle lit. You know, it's not going to happen for you. And that is him fighting to keep this relationship going.
Yeah. That's good, Steve.
I'm going to give it to you. Something of a poet.
Yes. We're even bringing in Thanksgiving. All right. No, that's good. Okay, so then we've been through this such a long, long time, just trying to kill the pain. I'm just going to read the next part too. So. But lovers always come and lovers always go, and no one's really sure who's letting go today, walking away. And so I think kind of that first part, you know, just, I mean, obviously when you're going through that, obviously they've been together for a long time and they're just trying to get through it, in my opinion, or that it's like slowly burning out. But I don't know, that thing about lovers always come and lovers always go. I always think about that. I don't even know why, but I'm thinking like lover in a sense of like, I don't know if he means just like an actual lover or like a partner, which is kind of like a different thing to me, you know, because if you're just like having sex with people and that's it, like, you know, they can come and go, or maybe just because I'm a chick, I'm a more emotional. It's probably being a girl or being me. I shouldn't speak for all women, but I don't know. It's kind of weird. That whole part's kind of weird to me, what you got.
Now, my listing of the lyrics says love is always coming and love is always going, as opposed to lovers. So I'm not 100% sure which is correct. But I look at this as, especially in that celebrity world, you do hear about these people breaking up and moving on all the time.
Yeah.
So in Axl Rose's world, by this point, you know, Guns N' Roses had been a big act for 4 years. You know, here he is dating the supermodel now. You know, who knows who he was dating right before or right after that. It was turbulent. Yeah. Love is always coming. Love is always going. No one's really sure who's letting go today and walking away. It's a lot of uncertainty in his love life.
Yeah. You know what? That's so weird that you bring that up, though. Sorry. I'm getting like mixed things on the internet where I printed this from. And then other sites, some say love, some say lovers. I did always thought they said love in this song, but when I read the lyrics, I was like, oh, I just heard it wrong, you know? So that is a big difference to me.
All right. Duff McKagan, if you're listening, ptbnsongsforfriends@gmail.com. Get at us, man. Let us know.
Send us our third email.
That's right.
Okay. So then we have, oh gosh. And then it has, I'll go to the next part. If we could take the time to lay it on the line, I could rest my head just knowing that you were mine, all mine. Man, I hope the rest of these lyrics are right. But this is like my favorite part of this song. And I don't even know. I think it's just that feeling, you know, when you know, like, you're with someone and you're both connected, you know, and that's, you both are wanting the same thing. I think in a lot of ways, there's nothing better than that feeling. instead of living in uncertainty. So, but I don't know when he would feel this from her, seeming that she's kind of, you know, not all in on this. But I think those moments when you know that they're in on you, you know, it's just, it's very, I don't know, it's just comforting.
Yeah, up to this point, there's almost all uncertainty. And that's him saying, look, let's sit down, let's hash this out. Because once we do, and I know for sure that you're mine, you know, nothing's going to be better than that. I will rest so well knowing that I have you and that you have me and that we're in this together.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you just never know, even when you do feel comfortable. You know what I mean? Life is crazy. But I think, yeah, but I love his voice in this part of that song, too. I just, that's my favorite part of the song. So I don't know what it is. He kind of gets kind of girly. I don't know. I just feel like his voice changes. All right. So he says, if you want to love me, then darling, don't refrain, or I'll just keep on walking in the cold November rain. So, I mean, to me here, he's just trying to, you know, love me. That's what I want from you. So please love me and be all in on it, on this, or just let me go kind of thing. So what you got?
Yep. That checks out.
Checks out. No arguing.
No, no banter on that. I will concede.
No banter. All right. So then we have, do you need some time on your own? Do you need some time all alone? Everybody needs some time on their own. Don't you know you need some time all alone? It's like, huh, okay. So it's weird because I feel like, I don't know. It's a weird thing to me because I feel like it's very important to be comfortable being alone and spending time alone, not even just like, even if you're in a relationship, like I still think it's totally healthy to like do your own thing, have time to yourself. And I think that like when I was growing up, my parents were always together, always together. I mean, if my mom was going to go to like a dinner with a bunch of people and my dad got sick, she wouldn't go. She'd be like, oh no, I'm staying home, you know? So, and it wasn't like in a controlling way. My mom would just always be like, your dad's my best friend. I don't want to be there if he's not there kind of thing. And it was just, so like I grew up thinking that was normal, I guess. And then like, as I grew up, I was like, you know, that you don't have to do everything that person's doing and they don't have to do everything you're doing. I think it's very healthy to do things on your own, but for whatever reason, they just didn't need that. You know, probably for reasons I wouldn't know, obviously, but it's kind of interesting because I think everyone's just different when it comes to that, you know.
Yeah, to me, this is up to this point, he's realizing the relationship is deteriorating. He makes an impassioned plea, please, let's just sit us down and get this together. And then he's realizing like he's holding on too tight, he's suffocating. So part of it is him telling her that she may need some time on her own. But I think part of it is convincing himself that it would be best for her to be alone. And almost like thinking out loud. Like, you know, don't you know you need some time all alone? You know, everybody needs time alone. It's a little bit of a ramble here.
Yeah.
It's like when you worked yourself into a corner and you're trying to get out of it. You know what? This is good. You know, be alone. You know, figure stuff out. Well,
you know, when you don't have a choice sometimes, you just got to deal with it. So you got to try to talk yourself into it. And, you know, I feel like I spend a lot of time alone, and but I actually really enjoy it in a weird way. It was new to me because I grew up with like a big family, and then I moved in with, you know, I never lived by myself, you know. And so now, you know, I'll have times when Zoe's not home, and it's just like I've come to really like, I appreciate that, and I really can be in my house and like no TV on and just like reading. And I would have hated that at a point in my life. I would have felt uncomfortable, but I find it to be kind of, I like it now. So I don't know if it's just getting older or just getting old and boring. That's probably what it is.
Well, this, every time I hear this part, it reminds me of that Slipknot song we covered way back when. When he said, well, if you love me, let me go. Like, you know, I'm going to need to be alone. So, you know, let's do this. Let's see if this is going to work.
Yeah, that's my other favorite power ballad.
My God.
These two. All right, so then we got, I know it's hard to keep an open heart when even friends seem out to harm you, but if you could heal a broken heart, wouldn't time be out to charm you? And I think that's, I mean, I probably even said this before on the show, before, you know, something similar to this, but I mean, when you're hurt, or like you've said, hurt people, you know, or is that how you say it, Steven? Is that what you say?
Yes.
Maybe you've said that, or I've seen Rich tweet that, something, but, and it's true. And so I think like, you know, she had something going on and maybe hurting her life. We all go through hurt. That's just a fact, you know, but it's just how you deal with it. And I think that's, you know, that's something that some people come out of, like a hurt relationship, or they're heartbroken and then they're just like shitty to everybody. And then some people come out with like a greater appreciation when they find love again. So it's just very weird how we all handle that. But I think she was just, you know, she was hurt and it was, you know, she couldn't reopen her heart, I guess, if you will. So
this is not extremely relatable to me. I think of more along the Axl Rose world. Keep in mind, at the time, Axl Rose was an out-and-out crazy person. Probably still is. Yep, I don't know. I've never met the man. It's hard to keep an open heart when even friends seem out to harm you. Like, most people don't live that reality, that everybody around them is only around them to get something. In the celebrity world, you know, unless it's somebody who came up with you and was there before the money and the resources, you know, who knows who's legitimate and who's not.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has to study the motives of everyone around him at all time. It's a paranoid lifestyle.
Yeah.
So in that environment, he's also trying to decide, all right, you know, is this time to settle down? Does this person love me? This person who also happens to be famous and is doing the same thing to people around them. I think that's why we see so many of these celebrity relationships falter.
Yeah.
Because it is hard to completely trust somebody in that world.
Yeah. I've often thought about that. This would never happen. But if I was a very wealthy person, like won the Powerball or something, I wouldn't really want anybody to know that, because I do think it changes the relationships around you. I mean, I think money can kind of be a bad, you know, it can kind of be a bad thing. And when you don't have anything to offer somebody, but they're still like your friend and they're there for you and all that, like that's kind of awesome, you know. But yeah, when you have money, it changes things, and I don't think it's always for the best. So
yeah, I've often said, if I win the Powerball, I'm not telling a soul. In Kentucky, you do not have to announce yourself.
That's that person that just won $1.5 billion in October or something. They didn't have to either in their state.
Well, I just saw a picture making the rounds of some lottery winner they made him come to the press conference, but he wore a ski mask.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
That was amazing. But yeah, awesome. I would keep going to work for an undetermined amount of time. And then one day I would just out in the open tell somebody important to fuck off. So that there would be a reason for me not to be around anymore. Like, well,
oh, and just move.
And like, well, Steve told that guy to fuck off. He got fired. Well, like, yep, that's plausible. It's something I would do.
Oh my God.
So instead of making a big production of I quit, I'm retiring. Nope. I got fired. Nobody knows what happened to me after that. And then I live quietly with my money and eat my snack packs and everything's happy.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a certain amount of money in my mind, and it's probably because I, you know, obviously work at a bank. But like, I saw this thing the other day, and it's just so accurate. It was something about the youth today, like how they are about money. Like, they'll pay 20. It's crazy. This is a little bit of exaggeration, but they'll order a Chick-fil-A meal to be delivered to them at their work through a delivery company. And it's like a meal that's $8 has now turned into like $18. Right. And they don't even like think about, like, that's fucking insane. Like that. And they come in the bank and they're mad at me because they have all these like, what, you know, and I'm just like, if you are paying someone 10 extra dollars to bring you fast food, like, that's crazy. Like, I'm a grown up that has a good job and I wouldn't do that. Like, there's been days at work, I'm like, I can't go get any food. I don't have anything to eat. I'm like, there's still no way that I'm going to spend $18 on an $8 meal, you know? And it's just crazy how some people are, but there's a certain amount of money to me that if I had, I would not be working for like another company, because I'm not going to take someone's bullshit, you know. Just like, but really, like, even $500,000, it's not that much money, you know. No. What I mean, like, you win $5 million, nah, it depends how you live your life, you know, and that's a lot of it. Like, I was reading the other day, like, not to get too football, but, you know, obviously I'm a Steelers fan, and there's this whole Antonio Brown thing going on, and he said something like, I have $30 million in the bank, and like, I watch that guy, or I used to. I unfollowed him on everything because I'm petty about my team. I'm a fan of my team, not players. And so, he lives crazy. Like, he's going to run out of money. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the kind of person, his house is like crazy and pillars. And like, he probably is going to blow through $30 million really quick. Like, and that is wild in my mind. I'm like, I couldn't imagine ever spending $30 million, but he will.
No,
I bet he'll be broke.
I would have to put my mind to it.
I couldn't
imagine what I would have to buy. Just stupid shit, like an army of llamas. Like, you know, I'd have to just intentionally blow money.
I'm so cheap. And like the other day, Zoe needed a shirt for school. And she was like, oh, can we go to Target for a picture day? And I was like, let's look over here. And she's like, Mom, I'm going to go to the clearance rack first. And I legit like wanted to cry because I was like, oh, that's my kid. Because I was like, yes, because that's like, really, you, even if you have the money to do certain things, it doesn't mean you should do them. You know, so right. I was like, oh, and she ended up finding one there. And I was like, oh, I spent $10 versus probably 25. And that felt like a win, you know, so it's the little things.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll get back on track here. Where are we at? This is a repeat. And then he has, when your fears subside.
Wait, hold up just a minute.
Okay. Is it not?
There's a slight shift here. On the previous stanza, it was, do you need some time on your own? And now it's the same situation. Yes. Sometimes so I need some time. He has gone from projecting now to claiming ownership of it.
Let me read it. I'm sorry. Yeah, see, this medicine is kicking in. Okay, sometimes I need some time on my own. Sometimes I need some time all alone. And then the next part's the same, right? Everybody yes. needs some time on their own. Don't you know you need some time all alone? Well, I obviously missed that. So what were you going to say, Steve? Go ahead. He's projecting.
Yeah, he's before it was, you know, you need your time. You need your space. Now he's like, you know what? Maybe I'm too close. Maybe I need my time. Maybe I need to be alone and figure myself out instead of pursuing this person who may or may not actually want me.
Yes. Yeah. It's like maybe he's being fake about it, but there is something empowering. I feel like when you get to the point where you're also like not wanting to be with that person either, you know, something kind of empowering. So, okay. Then we'll go to this next part. When your fears subside and shadows still remain. I kind of don't know how I should read this. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you can love me when there's no one left to blame. Stop it. What do you got, Steve? I feel like you have something to say.
When your fears subside and shadows still remain, I know that you can still love me when there's no one left to blame. This is a gentleman who is okay with being Plan B. Yeah, you go out there, you find your way in the world. And when you're through making excuses, I will be here waiting for you.
Oh, Plan B. That's awesome.
This is low self-esteem in his feelings, Axl Rose.
Yes. Well, I think we've all been there, right? We can all relate to that at some point in life. Probably. Not the Plan B thing necessarily, but the in your feelings. Feeling yes. low. You know, like when your girlfriend started dating the cowboy in high school.
We're going to have to bring Tara on the show at some point.
Yes. I want her to come on.
You know, that
we could invite my first boyfriend and then we can invite Tara. Just kidding.
That would be amazing.
I think he would come on. I'm not sure. Okay. So never mind the darkness. We can still find a way because nothing lasts forever, even cold November rain, which I think is awesome in this part. Obviously, he knows, and I think we all have to know this in life, like anything painful, it's going to not last forever. I mean, you're eventually going to heal, I guess is the right word. I don't know if heal, but learn to live with it. And I think that's comforting in a way, but at the time you don't see it, you know, but you have to know in life, like things are going to get better. I can't feel this way forever, you know?
Yeah, this is a brilliant reframing of that. Initially it was trying to keep this candle aflame in the November rain, you know, trying to keep everything alive in the hardest of circumstances. But now his outlook has changed that, you know what, this rain's going to stop eventually and this candle will be much easier to keep aflame.
Yeah.
Nothing lasts forever, even cold November rain.
Well, he probably met another model at this point. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe he fell in love with Slash.
They say how you get over someone is getting under someone new or whatever, something like that.
Guys, that did not come from Steve. That came from Kelly.
Don't say you don't endorse that.
She is the the bad influence here on Songs with Friends, clearly.
All right, so then we got Don't You Think You Need Somebody? Don't You Think You Need Someone? Everybody needs somebody. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. And he says this several times.
Yes.
The end of the song, which is kind of weird because I feel like he's going from that transition. I think what happens a lot of times when you're suffering like a loss or heartache or whatever, you get in that mindset of like, I don't fucking need anybody, you know, but at the end of the day, like we all need people, somebody, you know, and it's very hard. Like, I don't know how people go through life, and I'm not even talking romantic, just people, you know, and I can't imagine just going through life and not having like people on my side or whatever. And there are some people that are like that, you know, or that I meet that are like, I've never really felt like I've had good friends or I didn't have a good family. And I'm like, oh, that is like heartbreaking because I feel very lucky in both those areas. So.
All right. To me, this is, you know, he's made peace with the relationship ending, but now he's by himself. And this is almost like an internal dialogue. Don't you think that you need somebody? Everybody needs somebody. It's almost like a haunting cadence to the words in the song. You know, the whole tempo of the song changes. And don't you think that you need somebody? You know, it's almost...
It's like Megadeth he starts getting
on. You're not the only one, you motherfucker. You get out there, you find love. I'm tired of sitting here in this big-ass mansion. All right, well, I think that puts a nice little bow on November Rain.
I don't even know why I like this song so much, but it's absolutely on like a regular play of my life forever. And
I contend that this song, I mean, you know, I poke fun here on the show, but this is absolutely a fantastic song. And the kind of composition you really don't get in most pop music.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Axel outdid himself here. It said he worked on the song, you know, as far back as 1983.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and there are different versions of the recording, and you know, throughout that way, there's a live version of like 86, like an acoustic version at some point.
I need to hear that.
Some 18-minute recording they have of it before they settled on this 8-minute version.
It's crazy. What kind of drugs must have been happening during the 18-minute attempt?
All the cocaine.
All the cocaine.
This was the 80s. All that Aquanet was in the air, fucking up the atmosphere.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
All right, guys. Well, we are going to take a short break, get a word from JT and Chad, and we'll be right back with more Songs with Friends.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to the second half of episode 22 of Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. And speaking of the Place to Be Nation pop feed, we've had a busy week here on the feed with a little bit of something for everyone. On the Marvel Age podcast, we had the Sarcastic Four covering the second half of 1969. And then on the Marvel Age Masterclass with Ben Morse, Todd Weber joined him to recap the first half of 1969. We also had the premiere episode of Laugh In Theater with Scott Criscolo and Andy Atherton for a live watch of the legendary classic Caddyshack. Kelly, have you ever seen Caddyshack?
I have.
Dude, I have not. I know there's a gopher and there's Bill Murray.
You haven't?
No, so I need to do my homework and listen to the show.
Yes, for sure. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I've seen it.
All right, and then we had the Hard Traveling Fanboys with the new Long Book Hunters as they dive into the death of Captain Marvel. And Talking Pop with our favorite swinger friends, Tim and Jenny, suffering for our entertainment with a live watch of My Father, the Hero. Are you familiar with that movie?
I am not, but I'm going to have to. What's the idea? What's the premise?
It is a very, very young Katherine Heigl.
Oh, okay.
And Gerard Depardieu, a French actor who later became known to be very problematic. She, for some reason, it's her dad, and for some reason, she tells someone that that's her lover.
Oh, my.
And hilarity ensues.
I'm going to have to watch it. I guess I need to watch the movie first.
Yes. You can watch it along with Jenny and Tim. It's a live watch. You can watch and spend time with our quality friends.
Awesome.
And then over on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, JT and Chad returned with a new Wrestling Warzone podcast as they dug into 1995, December 11th, television, including the Go Home Raw before In Your House number 5, which was the infamous British Bulldog Bret Hart 5-alarm blade job match. And then Scott, Nate, and Steve, not me, one of the other 14 Steves associated with the site, bring the newest main event, delving into the top news of the week in WWE, and then heading back in time with this month's classic New Japan match review. Wrapping things up here with the debut of a brand new podcast series, What If Wrestling, featuring Greg Phillips and Nick Duke. And in the premiere installment, they dove into what would have happened if Ric Flair joined the WWF in 1988. I have listened to that. That's a good show. I recommend checking that out, guys. And be sure to check out placetobenation.com as things are getting back up and running there as March rolls on, including the newest installment of Glenn Butler's Walk Around the Web, hitting each Wednesday morning. Finally, be sure to give a like to the PTBN Greatest Candy Tournament Facebook page, as so you can participate in daily polls as we determine which candy is the greatest of all time. Things kick off on March 10th with a champion crowned on Easter Sunday. Now, I'm not even on Facebook, but I've been tempted to reactivate my profile.
I have to get on there and vote, for sure.
If anybody knows anything about me, I'm a candy-loving son of a bitch. And I want to make sure my voice is heard, and I hope that those damn dirty hackers don't infiltrate this like they did the 80s music tournament.
That was a shame.
Now, if like Twizzlers win, we know there are some shenanigans afoot.
You don't like Twizzlers?
They're okay, but...
You like nibs?
The fuck is a nib?
I think that's what they're called, or nibs? Nibs? I'm going to say that wrong. It's a licorice thing. Now I'm questioning myself. They're very good.
I hear you.
Stop it. Well, some people are very like Twizzlers or Red Vines. They're called they're by Twizzlers. They're called nibs. They're like little chunks of licorice, I guess you would say.
So it's like a bite of a Twizzler.
Yeah, but you know how Twizzlers have like, I don't know, the texture to them? These are not textured like that. I don't know how to explain it. I will get you some.
So they're smooth Twizzlers.
They're smooth Twizzlers, exactly.
What kind of ass-backward sorcery is this?
I don't know, but I love them. And I only thought about that because I hadn't had them in probably like 10 years, maybe even longer. And I saw some the other day and I was like, I'm sure the hell buying these. And they're very good.
I will take that under advisement.
Maybe they don't make those in Kentucky.
Perhaps. Uh-huh. However... Now we're going to move on to our second song. This is from the 2003 album. Oh, I put my paper down. The Neptunes presents Clones. This is Pharrell Williams and Jay-Z with Frontin'. Now, I'm going to tell you why I picked this song in just a minute, but I'm going to let the listeners know a little something. Hugo, the podcast pup, has been sitting by me this entire time. And just now, this sneaky bastard... walked back to my bedroom and pawed my door open so that he could go to bed without me.
Aw, that's so cute.
And also, quick sidebar, last night he was in bed with me asleep. He's supposed to stay at the foot of the bed, but when I fall asleep, as it's been cold, he walks his little happy ass up and snuggles up right against me, which is usually fine.
But so your back's to him.
Yes.
Like your back. Okay.
We're back to back, like two like two good brothers just trying to get a restful, warm night's sleep. There's no big spoon or little spoon.
That's what I was making sure. I just didn't know.
But something, I guess, startled him overnight, and he rolled over abruptly and rolled right out of bed, taking the internet router down with him.
Oh, man.
I just heard boop, boop. So then his little dumbass is running circles around the bed trying to figure out where he is.
Oh.
And decides to come over to where my head is and gently bark to wake me up to take him out to pee. So if you're wondering what Steve was doing at 2:30 in the morning, that's it. I was outside in 14-degree weather with a stupid dog.
And you have to, like, go out there with him.
Yes, with two leashes because he's a flight risk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, I throw mine out there. But I have to let him back in because it's been cold. Because Texas, you know, it's like 20 on Monday, yes. 80 last Friday, you know.
So I picked Fronten because this is the quintessential back on my bullshit anthem. This is the song I probably related to the most with my social situation back when it was brand new in 2003. I was a shipless individual just drifting to where my little heart wanted me to drift. But knowing at any time that it would be time to settle down and stop fronting and be in real with myself and in real with the person I wanted to be with and put all that bullshit aside.
Oh.
So here we go.
Pharrell. Yeah, this is a Steve song for sure. I was not surprised when you picked this.
He starts with, now in this video, he is in a house party type situation.
Oh my gosh.
A very bizarre house party.
Yes, like a skate. They have like a skate, what do you call that? Not a ramp, like a half pipe. Half pipe. They have like, the girls are, it's like, it's so weird to me though, because it's more like exposing like stomachs than like ass. I don't know. I just noticed that.
Yes, like, they're very pretty girls, but by today's standards, dress rather conservatively.
Yes.
They're showing midriff, but that's really it.
Yeah, like there's no, I don't even think there was like much cleavage, no ass hanging out. It was like, you know, and I think he's sort of like, I don't know why, but I feel like he's just like a good guy for some reason. And I feel like he's, I don't know, I haven't seen a lot of his music videos, but it didn't really surprise me either. And like he's, because what year was this? 2003?
Yes.
I mean, he clearly could have been showing some stuff, but they weren't, so.
This was a year after Nelly was telling everyone to take off all their clothes on the radio.
Yeah, right? Okay. Yeah.
So he approaches this gal, this very pretty gal with a little goofy sideways hat and her pretty friend, too. And he says, I don't want to sound full of myself or rude, but you ain't looking at no other dudes because you love me. I'm like, oh, man, he's opening with the big guns here. Like, look, I know you're not looking at them because I'm here. It's cool. Admit it to yourself. Let's get that out of the way. I'm the shit, and I know it.
Well, there is something very, like, I don't know how to, I don't want to say, like, because confident and cocky are kind of two different deals, but that could be funny. You know what I mean? Like, someone comes up and says that's, like, a good icebreaker that would probably make, like, me, I'd probably laugh at something like that.
This is Ron Burgundy saying, I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
It's like he believes it, but at the same time, it's a little bit of a wink to it. Like, haha.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Exactly.
And I love these little weird interjections where it's also Pharrell's voice coming in from the side. But I'm sorry, but I'm so sexy.
Yes. Yes. He's very, like, talented. Yeah.
So you think about a chance, you find yourself trying to do my dance, maybe because you love me. This, to me, doesn't necessarily have to be about a dance. It is. With Pharrell, obviously, being a musician, to me, this is like, you know, you're trying to do something that you know I like. You know, you're trying to do something to relate to me, you know, because you're into me. And that is something that people do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else you want to add to that?
Nope. Not that I could say on air. No, I'm just kidding.
All All right, so then we tried A Film Is Love Now because you ain't used to how fast we touched. Now, this was very much me back then. I was fast as shit. And there were times when it was, you know, you had to dial back a little bit. And to me, that's him recognizing that he wants to take time with this person, that he's got to slow his natural speed down if this is going to have a chance. Yeah, it's a little forward, but at the same time, you know, kind of respecting what she wants.
Yeah.
You ain't used to this? All right, I'll back off a little bit. We'll revisit this later. Let's put a pin in this.
Well, and I don't think a lot of, and not always, but I don't think a ton of, like, long-term type relationships probably start off with just, like, initial, like, a physical interaction. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that's not the best way to start off.
Yes.
A long-standing relationship with somebody.
But then he just fucking dives in. Says, and then we locked eyes, and I knew I was in there, and I was going to tear your ass up.
Yes, and he says it twice. No.
Tear your ass up.
You have it. I knew you would sing it at some point.
Now, this is a confident man. This is a man who's been here before. He's been in enough situations to know when this deal is going to be closed, so to speak. And he recognized the hesitancy, but knows that if he plays it just a little bit cool, it's still going to end the way he wants it to end.
Yeah. And there is something, I mean, I don't think tear your ass up is probably the, like, phrasing that would,
oh God, no.
I wouldn't respond to that well, but, I think there is something about somebody though. It's kind of weird, I guess, depends on what age you're at in life, but like when you're 18, I don't think you really expect that someone's going to be like legit, like the best lover person, you know what I mean? Like, there's a point too to me where I'm like, if you're so damn confident about it, how many people have you been with? And that crosses my mind because I'm crazy about that kind of stuff. But I mean, yeah, you don't really say to a girl, I'm going to tear that ass up most of the time and have a positive response.
If you do say that, you haven't been here before. That is misplaced confidence.
Now, that's something you might say to someone you're married to, or you know what I mean? Like a long term is like something you might say, but like, yeah, not an initial conversation with somebody.
No, that's something that the Damon Wayans Jr. character would say in Happy Endings. Like, girl, I'm going to tear your ass up.
Yes, exactly. You're so right. He probably has.
No, but to me, this is more of an internal monologue. Look, we locked eyes. I knew I was in there. I knew what I was going to do. I hope, like hell, he didn't say this at this party.
Oh, I bet, yeah, he probably did it.
Because then that cutie with the ponytail would not be about that life.
Those girls don't look like they were about that kind of talking to him.
No, they looked like shockingly wholesome.
Yes, yes. That stuck out a lot to me in that video, a lot.
You know, I meant to actually look up what the main love interest, if she's done anything else, because she was a beautiful woman.
She was.
Like, strikingly so.
Yeah.
And I... like, she wasn't ringing any bells. This has been, God, 16 years now. So surely she'd have turned up in something if she actually made a career of this.
Oh, here's an article. Model from Pharrell's 2003 video is still beautiful.
No shit. Water still wet. Big still angry on the internet.
Oh, gosh. Don't bring us into that, Steve. Yeah, I don't see anything. Well, we'll look into that later, but that's interesting. Okay.
All right. That's, that may be for the Patreon. All right, guys. Moving on here. It says, I know that I'm carrying on. So this is right after he says, I knew I was in there. I was going to tear your ass up. So he's taking a step back. I know that I'm carrying on. Never mind if I'm showing off. I was just fronting. You know I want you, babe. I'm ready to bet it all, unless you don't care at all. But you know I want you. You should stop fronting, babe. So this is, you know, recognizing that he's being a damn buffoon in this place.
Yeah.
But like, he's back on his bullshit, like I said. He's in that zone, that bravado, where he feels like he could do no wrong. While at the same time kind of hedges his bet, saying, you know, I'm ready to go all in on you, unless you don't care. But I do want you. You know, a little bit of, like, just enough indecisiveness there. Like, plan to see, like,
that's going to make someone like jump at you a little bit exactly. When you're a little bit hesitant.
It's that, I love you, just kidding, huh? Or maybe not, you know?
Yeah.
It's dipping the toes in. You know, being committing to it, but not telling them blatantly you're committing to it.
Yeah, exactly.
However, we have a wrinkle here. You're trying to be the best girlfriend you could be, but still you sneak and look at me, and girl, I love it.
Oh.
So she's with somebody else. And Pharrell doesn't give a damn. He's going in anyway. He's like, look, I don't see too many super cute girls here with ponytails and baseball hats turned to the side with just a little bit of belly button showing at my party. I got to know more about you. Oh, you're with somebody? Cool. Where is he? He's not here? Fuck him.
This was like the other side of the Dilemma song. No, I'm just kidding. But
the Dilemma song came up. Like, we're going to end up doing Dilemma, I'm sure, at some point.
It's a song that I love.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. Video and all, so just wait. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's all good. So then you give your other girl a shove. Tell her you go. I think this lyric is actually wrong. Tell her you go palm her ass like it was. I don't think it's right. I don't think she's palming her girlfriend's ass. You go tell her ass how it was.
He says, tell her you're going to call her ass how it was.
Yeah, I think there's... He's basically saying that, look... Afterwards, you go tell your girlfriend how good this was.
Dang.
What's your
girl? That's like real weird to me.
Girls talk. I mean, that's.
I'm not saying that. I just feel like if a guy was like wanting me to tell my friend, I feel like it's like he's more he's not really into me as my. I don't know. Yes, girls talk. Guys talk.
He's setting up a referral system.
Yeah. I feel like you're like, well, yeah, you'll tell Julie that I was good. And then, you know, she's going, whatever. That was a weird name to pick. But I don't think people use the name Julie anymore. But
she'll want to ride on the Steve Express.
Yes. And I feel like that's kind of like a, you know, that to me is weird. I would feel kind of like, why do you care if my girlfriend knows you're good in bed, you know?
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily wanting that. As much as taking pride in your performance. Like, look, I know I'm going to be so good tonight that you're going to have to tell a friend.
Oh.
Like, in the post-date report, the scouting report, you're going to give me an A+ here. And you know what? That's good. I'm glad I made you feel that way.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. Well, I feel like there's things you would share with someone that you were, like, with. And not with, I don't know how to, like, maybe if you just kind of slept with someone one time, that might be something you just, like, tell people about. But if it's, like, someone that's going to, like, be around, you might be hesitant on that. I don't know. It's just, I guess it's kind of, just depends.
Now, I do feel the need to differentiate here because there are times when he is clearly talking to the person. And then there's more observations. I think this is more of an observation scenario where he sees that she's trying to be a good girlfriend. But still looking at him, and then he sees her giving a girl a playful shove. And in his mind, you know, he's already kind of planning later that, all right, that's going to be the girl she talks to later to tell her how her night went.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, you're at this party with crazy-ass shirtless dudes riding skateboards and shit. And, you know, clearly you're there with your friend, but you hook up with Pharrell at some point. You know, clearly she's going to know what you did.
Yeah.
So there's going to be questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's going to love
the... Well, because him being famous, that's a whole nother. You know what I mean? That's like a whole other thing.
True.
If so. He's playing himself in the video, I guess. Some things are weird about those videos, you know? It's not really him.
Yeah, everything about that was Pharrell. All right.
Yeah, probably.
Then we just have some more repeating stuff here. I'm not going to get into all that again. We already covered it. But then we go into Jay-Z's little part here. First,
which he's on like a little camera or like a little TV screen or something, right?
They're watching him on a digital camera.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
On a damn Casio camera or some shit. It's amazing. I mean, just imagine, you know, digital cameras. I'm sure they exist, but they pretty much just went away.
Oh, I know. I have mine still. Zoe had said something about that. Now she has a camera, like a Polaroid type thing. I don't think it's by Polaroid, though, that prints them instantly. She has one of those. Mm-hmm. And then she has like a little printer where she can print them from her phone right away. And they're small. And I'm like, but she's all excited about it. So
Kids.
Film to her is like foreign. You know what yes. I mean? It's like me playing records. You know, she's like, film.
So then Jay-Z starts with just some general nonsense to get into his verse. But then he says, every time your name was brought up, I would act all nonchalant in front of an audience. Like you would just know the shorty I put the naughty on. So it's him.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty much admitting to, yeah, all right, like, I'm into you, but I'm not going to tell everybody I'm into you. Like, I'm completely full of shit. I'm going to tell you I love you when it's just us. But to the boys, yeah, you know, you're just a girl. That's it.
Yeah.
Now that's a bullshit move right there.
This is 2003 Steve move?
No, it is not, ma'am. I'm going to defend myself here.
Well, you said, so that's why I was like,
I did, you, but we got to lay the foundation here because there's, okay, there's a swift turnaround in this verse.
Oh, okay.
Says, but a truth be told, you threw me for a loop. It's Hove. That's what he called himself. It's kind of a silly nickname. I'm too old to be fronting when I'm feeling. Denzelin acting like you ain't appealing when you are. Stunting like you're not my only girl when you are. I'm ready to stop when you are. Like, he's like, look, I've been full of shit. I'm ready to cut the bullshit. I don't need to front. I want to be with you. Which, yeah. You know, when you're dating Beyonce, you know, I can see you're ready to make that step.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're then it's of course. There's no up from there in life.
Yeah, like, this is about the time that became public. So it's like, you know what, okay. Everybody, I'm tired of just saying we're friends. No, I'm fucking Beyonce, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess they had it. Now I'm not even going to say this right. They had like sort of an age difference or something.
Yes. People forget, like, she got famous. She was 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. She was very young when they got together.
She
right?
is, I think, a year older than me, maybe two. So she would have been, like, 21, 22 years old at this time.
Okay.
And he's in his mid to late 30s.
Okay. Well, but, you know, it's still, I just remember that being a thing. Like, oh, my goodness. But yeah, Beyonce is about as good as it gets, or it was at the time for Jay-Z. So
absolutely. And then we just kind of repeat some of the same stuff. You know, I want you. You should stop fronting, babe. So, man, classic bravado, bullshit, bluster. Finally settling down, admitting to himself and admitting to the woman that he is ready to settle down.
That he is ready. Hopefully he didn't take her through too much bullshit to get to that.
You know, I like to think they spent the rest of their day on that half pipe. Doing cool tricks.
I'm sorry. I guess I had never seen that video, and that really threw me in the video when that came up. I was like, what is going on? And then it just was a very strange, I don't know. That video was interesting.
Very Pharrell Neptune's culture. A lot of skate iconography is used with them.
Okay. And I don't know a lot about him. I do know a lot of his music, but I don't know a lot about him otherwise, as far as videos and things.
All right, guys. I'm not going to lie to you here. I'm not going to front. next week, my song will go first, but I haven't picked one yet. So I'm going to pitch to Kelly. Kelly, tell us what song we're going to
do.
You
don't have a song pick?
I'll come up with one in the next 10 seconds. I have not thought about it till just now.
We are going to do a Red Hot Chili Pepper song. Hard to Concentrate, it's called.
Hard to Concentrate, all right. And just to pull this completely out of my ass, because I have nothing.
You don't have a list? I have my whole list right here. This is private. No one can see it, but I have a list here.
We are going to go with The Temptations, Just My Imagination Running Away With Me.
Oh, wow.
Hell yeah. I think that's the oldest song we've done.
Probably. I need to bust out something like that, something older. I'm tending to stick to the songs of like my prime of life.
All right, guys. If you want to send us an email, go to ptbnsongsoffriends@gmail.com. I recently got promoted at my job, so I will have more time in the office to read emails. Hint, hint.
I'm going to send you an email, Steve.
And you can follow the show's Twitter at ptbn_songs. For Kelly, this is Steve, and we will try to do better next time.